Hello and welcome to the Minimum Competence episode for Thursday, May 2nd, 2024. I'm your host for today, Andrew Leahy, a tax and technology attorney from New Jersey. On today's episode, we have a $600 million potential windfall for investors from a bankruptcy case, EPA's $3 billion lead pipe replacement initiative, and legal updates on John Eastman and Donald Trump's trials. Let's remember, justice will not be served until those who are unaffected are as outraged as those who are, and read today's legal news. On this day in legal history, May 2nd, 1972, J. Edgar Hoover, the controversial and influential director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, passed away at the age of 77. Hoover had been at the helm of the FBI since 1924, dramatically shaping the agency's direction and methods for nearly half a century. His tenure began during the tumultuous era of Prohibition when he aggressively pursued bootleggers and organized crime. This initial success helped cement his reputation and solidify his position within the U.S. government. Hoover's impact extended far beyond the fight against crime. After World War II, he focused the FBI's attention on combating communism, a stance that resonated with the fears of the American public during the Cold War era. Under his direction, the FBI also kept close surveillance on civil rights organizations and pro-rights groups, reflecting his belief in strict law enforcement and his skepticism of civil liberties movements. The approach led to extensive criticism of Hoover, particularly concerning his methods and the extent of his power. His leadership saw the introduction of scientific crime-fighting techniques, including the centralized fingerprint file and the FBI laboratory. Hoover also initiated the FBI National Academy, which aimed to improve the standards and cooperation among different American police forces. However, his secretive actions in the unauthorized surveillance programs, such as COINTELPRO, marred his legacy and led to significant changes in how U.S. intelligence and law enforcement agencies were overseen. Hoover's death marked the end of an era characterized by aggressive enforcement tactics intertwined with significant controversies regarding civil liberties. His influence on the FBI and American law enforcement continues to be a topic of study and debate, reflecting the complexities of balancing national security and individual rights. His passing prompted a reevaluation of the powers and oversight of federal law enforcement agencies, ultimately leading to reforms intended to curb the excesses witnessed during his administration. A group of investment firms is poised to secure a significant profit from a $5.6 million investment in a legal case related to the bankruptcy of Sanchez Energy Corp. These firms, led by Benefit Street Partners, provided financial backing to a coalition of unsecured creditors involved in the legal disputes surrounding the 2019 bankruptcy of Sanchez Energy. This funding arrangement promised the investment firms 90% of any financial recoveries from the proceedings. The lawsuit centers on the control of Sanchez Energy, which has since been rebranded as Mesquite Energy Inc., following its emergence from bankruptcy. The Delaware Trust Co., representing these unsecured creditors, succeeded in gaining 70% control of the newly named company. Other firms involved include Brigade Capital, Avenue Capital, and Taconic Capital. However, a group of unsecured creditors led by Lake Willens and Clear Harbor contested this arrangement, arguing that it improperly altered the bankruptcy reorganization plan by diverting a disproportionate share of the equity, potentially worth hundreds of millions, to the investors. They filed a lawsuit alleging that this deal was the result of a secretive conspiracy that unfairly benefited the largest claim holders. The legal challenge saw a development when Judge Marvin Isger of the U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of Texas dismissed one of the claims against this funding deal, but allowed Lake Willens and Clear Harbor to amend their lawsuit to pursue other specific claims. The EPA has allocated $3 billion from the bipartisan infrastructure law to assist states in replacing lead drinking water pipes as part of a broader $15 billion initiative that Congress approved to be distributed in yearly installments through 2026. This funding will be managed through the EPA's Drinking Water State Revolving Fund and is expected to aid in the replacement of approximately 1.7 million lead pipes nationwide. Michael Regan, the EPA administrator, emphasized the urgent need for this initiative, pointing out the historical use of lead in service lines and its proven dangers. Regan highlighted that there is no safe level of lead exposure, underlining the critical public health issue this program aims to address. Illinois and Florida are the major beneficiaries in the 2024 funding tranche, set to receive over $240 million and nearly $229 million, respectively. This funding distribution underscores the nationwide push to mitigate lead risks in drinking water. Additionally, the EPA plans to release a memo outlining how states can best utilize these funds and other resources to minimize lead exposure effectively. This includes the establishment of best practices for deploying the infrastructure funds. Amid these developments, utilities are under a tight deadline set for October 16th to complete an inventory of all lead pipes as mandated by the lead and copper rule from the Trump administration. Furthermore, the EPA is proposing a significant update to this rule, named the Lead and Copper Rule Improvements, or LCRI, which would accelerate lead pipe replacements, requiring utilities to replace 10% of lead service lines each year over the next decade, a sharp increase from the current requirement of 3% annually. This proposal is expected to be finalized by October. This initiative and regulatory update are critical steps towards eradicating lead contamination in U.S. drinking water systems, reflecting a significant commitment to public health and safety. John Eastman, an attorney for Donald Trump, faced a setback when his bid to lift his suspension from practicing law in California was denied. State Bar Court Judge Yvette Rowland determined that Eastman failed to demonstrate that he no longer poses a threat to the public. This decision aligns with her earlier recommendation for Eastman's disbarment due to deceptive statements he made about the 2020 presidential election's electoral process. Judge Rowland emphasized that the suspension serves to protect the public, citing Eastman's significant transgressions that involved moral turpitude and his continued refusal to acknowledge any wrongdoing. She indicated that these factors contribute to a likely risk of future misconduct, thereby justifying his suspension. Eastman, a former law professor at Chapman University, was placed on inactive enrollment shortly after the disbarment recommendation. The California Supreme Court is expected to make the final decision, but it is improbable that it will deviate from Judge Rowland's recommendation. Further compounding Eastman's legal challenges, he and other associates, including former New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani, were indicted for their efforts to overturn the 2020 election results in Georgia. They have all pleaded not guilty to charges of election interference. Amidst these legal battles, Eastman claimed that the suspension jeopardizes his livelihood and his ability to cover substantial legal fees estimated at $3 million. The State Bar's Office of Chief Trial Counsel argued that the suspension is mandatory under California law for anyone recommended for disbarment, emphasizing that the suspension was not due to client complaints, but due to the significant threat Eastman poses to public safety and justice administration. Eastman plans to appeal the decision, a process expected to take about a year. The trial of Donald J. Trump. You remember him? It's a landmark case as it involves a former U.S. president, resumed today with attorney Keith Davidson back on the witness stand. Davidson previously represented Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, both of whom alleged affairs with Trump. The focal point of his testimony revolves around the negotiations for hush money payments aimed at preventing these women from publicizing their stories prior to the 2016 presidential election. Davidson's testimony provided insights into the secretive world of celebrity scandal management, detailing a $130,000 payment arranged by Trump's former lawyer, Michael Cohen, to silence Daniels. Cohen purportedly disguised these payments as legal expenses within the Trump Organization's books, an action for which Trump has been charged with falsifying business records. If found guilty, Trump could face up to 4 years in prison. He has pleaded not guilty and denied the allegations of the affair. The testimony highlighted Davidson's doubts about Cohen's reliability in making the payment, comparing his behavior to a distractible character from the movie Up. Despite these uncertainties, Cohen tried to reassure Davidson by forwarding an email from First Republic Bank confirming his financial solvency. Davidson also touched upon the representation of McDougal, who received a $150,000 hush money payment from the parent company of the National Enquirer, a deal aimed at suppressing negative news during the election campaign. As the trial progresses, the former publisher of the National Enquirer, David Pecker, testified about his refusal to facilitate a payment for Daniels, distancing himself from further financial involvement. Prosecutors are expected to conclude their questioning of Davidson soon, after which Trump's defense will cross-examine him. Additionally, the judge, Juan M. Mershon, will address instances where Trump allegedly violated a gag order by attacking witnesses and jurors, having already fined him $9,000 for previous violations. This session follows a series of significant courtroom activities, including video evidence from Trump's 2016 campaign rallies and testimonies that underscore the contentious atmosphere surrounding this high-profile trial. Additionally, today, the prosecutor has requested additional fines for Donald Trump for violating a gag order. The prosecutor argued that Trump's recent comments jeopardized the trial's integrity by intimidating potential witnesses. Trump's lawyer defended his right to respond to political attacks, but the judge appeared skeptical. Trump faces potential fines and even potential jail time for violating the gag order, with the trial continuing amidst a backdrop of political tension and legal challenges. And with that, I thank you so much for listening to Minimum Competence, your daily news podcast for lawyers. If you're looking for more than Minimum Competence, links to further reading on all the topics touched on today are in the show notes. And reviews go a long way towards helping new listeners to find our show. If you have a moment and can leave a rating or a review on your podcast player, we'd appreciate it. And if you know someone that might be interested in a story we cover, consider sending them the episode. But remember, nothing here should be construed as legal advice, because it is certainly not that. Minimum Competence is available at MinimumComp.com and wherever you get your finely crafted podcasts. If you haven't checked out the website in a while, give it a look. There are complete transcripts and resources for each episode and its corresponding segments, as well as an opportunity to receive new episodes in email, newsletter, form. We'll see you back here tomorrow, and until then, remember, justice is sweet and musical, but injustice is harsh and discordant.